What is up, crew? It is it's Monday. It's the second. It means every second matters. The start of the week. It's Tulsa week. So, yeah, going to be a good one. Let's get the camera on here. And get my YouTube chat all figured out. It got all wonky on me. Go figure, right? Speaking of YouTube, we are obviously live on YouTube, but we're also simulcast over on gunchannels.com. Let me grab the link for that and get that to you folks over there on the YouTube's side of things. If the chat will ever even come up on the YouTube side of things. There we go. Finally. Ah. The lag is strong with the YouTubes. Speaking of that gun channel side, let's go see if we got anybody hanging out over that way. Yeah, it looks like Tony's over there and Pants, Michael, Blue Phoenix, Heavy B, and Sean. So, sweet. Mohawk Boy is saying the food tube guy. I don't know. I've got that one. I'm going to tell you what. Props to anybody that does food videos. I'm telling you right now, because that was insane. It was a pain to film. It was a pain to set up to film. It was a pain to edit because the process takes so long. I run out of light. I run out of daylight anyway. It was a nightmare. Guitar Man out there says, whoa, he has a wrench. You do have a wrench. I don't know why. I think you had to post a link one time. And I gave you a link for that, I think. I think that's what I did. So, yeah. Who do we have on the YouTube side? Grim, Outlaw, Sean, Gunpowder, 1%. William, Kenneth, Meredith, Mohawk Boy, Guitar Man, Tardot, Dale, Rusty, Tulai, Moo, User in the Hizzy. Hey, everybody. So, Rokal just jumped in. Says, hi, my name is Rokal. I'd like to say, I think you're all a swell bunch of folks so far. Well, isn't that special, Rokal? This is your show, so we can talk about pretty much whatever. Garvelis is jumping into Hizzy. So, yeah, it's pretty much you guys make the call here. We talked about earlier, and the ghost jumped on for Every Second Matters. So we talked about all of that good stuff, sort of beat that horse to death, so to speak, and got into a little bit of the Tulsa stuff. Mohawk Boy says, can I please shake my fist and say mean things to the Merriam-Webster dictionary people? Merriam-Webster, I don't know. I don't know what to say. Merriam-Webster, you are worse than Wikipedia. Does that work? Is that mean enough? Now, Guitar Man Pete's got something I think we've hit on a couple of times. He says, is it just me or is the anti-gun thing dying down a little? I think it depends on where you live, quite honestly. But this is something that I talked about when we were talking about everything that come out after the kids march, whatever you want to call it, right? And during that march, seen a lot of interviews, and then with the speakers and stuff they had too, it was interesting because you had all these fractures that seemed like was starting to take place. And one of those fractures was Chicago. Hey, I'm a minority and I live in Chicago and I go to school and people are getting shot all the time. And, you know, what are we going to do? And the problem is Parkland come up, they you know, had some kids there that were, you know, into the journalism aspect, school newspaper, that sort of stuff. They were already into the activist side of things. Bright kids, by all account, very well-educated kids. I'm not going to say they've got any kind of common sense necessarily or anything like that. But, you know, made good grades. I mean, smart kids. And they seized on an opportunity with that and ran with it. And for a little while, it worked. But a couple of things at play. Number one, you're dealing with kids, and kids are going to have an attention span, particularly with summer coming up, right? You know, it seems like spring break hit, and things started to fizzle a little bit after that. But then secondly, you started getting other people that said, whoa, why are they getting all of the attention? And that was actually happening within Parkland. I'm sure if you've done any homework, you've seen that there was kids out there that were speaking, you know, pro-gun. And they weren't getting any airtime, but they were there, and they were talking. It's just nobody wanted to hear it. They were pushing an agenda. We all know how they do that. And so they get to D.C., the movement actually grows, and then now you've got these other factions that are moving in. And a conversation that they do not want to have, they can push the, kids in school, you know, all of this other stuff, just fine. But when they've got to deal with an issue of Chicago, they don't want to touch that. And they don't want to touch that because none of their narrative works there, none of it. They can holler all day long about how, people do in Chicago, they go across state lines, and there's a law against that. You know, they go to gun shows. There's a law against that. If somebody's crossing the state lines from Chicago into somewhere else and buying something, they're breaking the law. You're going to put more laws on that? I don't understand. That doesn't make any sense. Being against the law is being against the law, period. So, yeah, I think in a way it's dying down a little bit. And I think it may continue to die down a little bit. The sad truth is whenever you get something like that, especially with kids involved, it's an emotional thing. And it's going to take time. Over in Hank's chat, I don't even remember who it was, but somebody made a really good point about the hog kid, and they said, and I think this applies to all of the kids, especially the six on the time cover and the ones that are being used by the left, that, you know, they were stripped out of that community and put on the grand stage just almost immediately, right? And they did go through this tragedy. I mean, we can't take that away from them. And, you know, one has to wonder, once all of this starts to die down, because they were kind of whisked off into la-la land. They were whisked off into a thing to where they were given, you know, the spotlight and, you know, a stage to speak their platform and popularity and possibly tangible goods too, or money. I don't know. But they were certainly treated like queens and kings after being snatched up from a tragic situation. So one has to wonder, as time goes on and things start to die down and these kids start to, I've got something flying around here. They start to fall out of the spotlight, so to speak. If at that point they don't start dealing with the actual, what in the world's flying around? They don't start dealing with the actual issues that went on that they experienced. And in other words, maybe they suppressed it, or maybe it's been suppressed by what the left has been using them for. So in a way, you know, with those that have been complicit with the left in this movement, I sort of worry about their health and well-being a little bit. I don't think it's healthy. Hang on. That's a skeeter. Get out of here, skeeter. I love warm weather in Texas. We get all kinds of bugs and it's horrible. All right, moving on here. Gunpowder Beauty says pokeweed root can be boiled to treat brown recluse blights. Yes, pokeweed is useful for a bunch of different things. Kenneth saying he hasn't seen any channel bans yet. No, and I don't think unless things get really crazy and people decide they're going to push that envelope. If you want to push that envelope, you know, it's one of them things. If you play with fire, you're going to get burned, right? And So if you try to push that envelope, you're fine. But I think if you stay within the context of what, and we've talked about that stuff repeatedly, if you're not familiar, go hit up the playlist for After Hours. It's there. We talked about it for an hour solid. Listen to that. Guitar Man Pete says, fake news applying definitions now. Language, and we've talked about this too, language is one of those things that it's one of those things that I don't want to say it evolves, because honestly it degrades, if more than anything, and has been degrading over time. Where did we have this conversation? I think we had this conversation this something. Maybe it was on Tardot's show the other evening or something. But, you know, over time, slang terms start to be used and that sort of thing. And eventually they are going to apply a definition to it, just simply because it's out there and it's being used so much that they feel compelled that if there's people out there that hear that word and doesn't know what it means, there needs to be some type of definition to it. Sadly for us, they're putting definition to something that doesn't physically exist. It was instituted as sheer propaganda from the beginning, and that's what it still is. Guitar Man Pete is talking about hog and not getting into school. Yeah, I totally disagree with the premise that hog is not bright. Like I said, as far as agendas and activism clouding common sense or him running on emotion or something, that's one thing. That's a discussion we can have. As far as making the grades and that sort of thing, those kids are smart. They're not stupid kids. So it's not a big deal. What's her name? Laura Ingram. Laura Ingram stepped in it. She puts her foot in her mouth a lot, but I believe she stepped in it with that too by picking on the kid and his grades and whether or not he got into college. Big whoop. I mean, there's kids across the country this time of year, every year, that apply to 10 colleges or universities and may only get accepted to one. Some of them don't get accepted to any of them. So not being accepted into a school is that's a common thing. I don't know what the acceptance rate is at USC, and I don't know what the requirements is. He may have been chasing a dream there too. It's entirely possible. What do we got? We got a good chat going. I do know that. What do we got? Joe out there's talking about the Massachusetts is never go away, but Second Amendment folks won't stop. Yeah. It's great to have folks in, behind the lines. We've got Cycle Camp back there. We've got Rick back there. We've got, oh man, Philo Dale, over on the West Coast, too haughty to an extent. We got some folks up in Washington. Who do we got? Grimm in Illinois, several others. It's awesome that we have people there, because I don't know that I could move there. I don't know that I could handle that. I mean, I've been blessed to be born and raised and live in Texas, and with all the problems that sometimes we complain about as Texans, we've got it good compared to a lot of other places. So, I don't know that I could give up, a lot of the toys that I own, sell those off, whatever, to move someplace like that and not, know those are not sitting in the safe or sitting in the closet, and know that I can't go play with those anytime I want to. So mad props for those that stay behind the lines. Matt, 50 caliber Karma is another one out there in California. Forgot about him. And I'm sure I'm missing others. But, yeah, mad props to those that continue to do that day in and day out. I don't remember who it was, if it was Dale or Matt or which one was talking about California. We were actually talking about that. We were saying, I don't know how you guys do it. And they were saying, well, we're not really doing it to try to flip this state back. We're doing it to try to keep this craziness from spreading to other states. And I completely understand that and respect it. So user is saying, with YouTube's ban on showing rapid fire, there's not a ban on showing rapid fire, first of all. That's how to modify and stuff is the issue. There's no, they don't say you can't show something that's rapid firing. It says we should all start mass flagging all action movie promos, blah, 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 blah. Here's the problem with that, user. Whenever you start mass flagging stuff, the algorithm is going to kick in and it's going to be absolutely chaotic. You got to remember that algorithm is picking up on flags and whether people like stuff or they don't like stuff or they comment or words that are translated either through the chat over there or what's said on camera. It's parsing the data for the title, the description. It's doing all of this stuff, right? So you go out there and you start trying to, number one, you start trying to flag all of this stuff, and there's going to be blowback because of the algorithm. You're going to catch legitimate stuff. It's not going to understand what's going on, and it's eventually going to make things worse, at least short term. The second part of that is when you're dealing with rap videos, when you're dealing with movie promos, anything Hollywood, you know, movies, music, TV, stuff like that. A lot of that stuff is just completely because it's commercially produced, I guess. It's completely exempt from a lot of the stuff that goes on with the algorithm and all of that anyway. It's like Hollywood more or less has pre-approval to do pretty much whatever they want. So that's a couple of things with that too, definitely to consider. I'm not sure what Guitar Man's talking about. He says it may push people to realize there is an agenda. Mark Boy said they need to make it extra illegal to kill people or something. You know, they already have that. They, you know, you've got varying levels, varying degrees, right, of murder. You got, and now you have varying degrees of speech even. You've got hate speech, and you've got hate crimes. So applies to anything. It can be a hate crime. That's weird. Crime is crime. I don't get it. Roll call looks like a public announcement maybe or something. He says, attention, Honor Defense posted that a march for our lives thing will be happening in Georgia. So they asked to speak with the organizers of the rally to talk common sense. That could be interesting. He was just talking about a video where Dad pulled out his pocket knife at a PTA meeting. Okay, well, that probably wasn't an altogether smart move. But he was on school property and he had a pocket knife. Of course, that rule really applies. I don't know. That's a campus policy, honestly. I know a lot of the campus here, it's like no drugs, no knives, no firearms, basically no weapons, no drugs. And by they mean legal stuff as well. When they say drugs, I mean, they mean Tylenol. If you have Tylenol or Benadryl, that's a drug. So I haven't watched that one. So that would be a good one for me to go watch maybe and catch up. He just said a guy drove his point home like a hammer. I'm sure he probably did. I don't know that if it was a net gain or a net loss for him. Hopefully it didn't reflect too bad. I'll go watch it, though. Let's see. I'm way behind. I know I am. I know I am. I see a lot of folks coming in. There's Ghost and 12 Gauge and John Brown, I see, out there. So Last and Ballistic. Ooh, can I even speak? Alaskan Ballistics. Vandal. from down under is in the house, and Mike's out there. Looks like two Scotsmen. Scotsman saying, got in swag. We'll be mailing out hopefully this week. Sweet. Yeah, looking forward to some Scotsman swag for sure. Sure, for sure. Let's see. Now, Mike's asking if anybody's ever used any PMA board guides. I'm going to go look those up, Mike. Honestly, not familiar. But I may have used something similar. No. But I do have one that's really similar. Is it Possum Hollow, the one I've got? Or my for my Savage 110, because I've definitely got to keep that thing clean. Yeah, it's got to be a Possum Hollow. It basically is the same thing, I believe. Yeah, it's basically the same thing. I use a I use one on my Savage 308, Mike. That's my, you know, for lack of a better term, my baby when it comes to long range accuracy and that sort of stuff. You know, only run a certain ammunition through it, blah, 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 so forth and so on. Anyway, and the one I use from Possum Hollow looks just like the PMA. I mean, there's really no difference in it. So, you know, a lot of people, does it matter? Do you really need a board guide? I mean, you know, it just depends. I mean, if you're talking about, you know, really protecting the chamber area, that sort of stuff, then, you know, a board guide's pretty nice. But as long as you're using, you know, brass or fiberglass rod, I use Sinclair rods myself, then, you know, you're probably okay as long as you're being careful with it. But I wouldn't be turned off by the PMA to answer your question directly. Alaskan Ballistics out there talking about, you know, arming teachers. Alaskan says they'd be in favor of arming teachers, but we want a lot of training. Yeah, I mean, that's a totally different situation. You know, and I think that even that conversation's dying down a little bit, I think, nationally, anyway. I think people are finally starting to realize, because you say arming the teachers, and you've got teachers that don't carry, and they may even be anti, you know, Second Amendment, anti-gun, and they go, oh, I don't want to carry. You're going to make me carry. It's one other job. I'm like, no, we're not saying that. We're saying if you want to carry, then let's offer some training. And I've talked about it here in Texas. I don't know if I can pull it up or not. I can't ever remember the name of the program we have here in Texas. And they may have it in other states as well. And school districts can actually opt into this. But it's partnered basically with the Texas Education Agency. Or that may be, don't quote me on Texas Education Agency, because they may have actually changed that in recent years. But that's what it used to be called. Basically the bureaucracy in Texas that is over education, right? Was a partnership with NEM. And then I'm looking here because somewhere in my notes, I wrote this down because I knew that when talking about it, I was never going to be able to remember that. But it's a partnership between NEM and the Texas Department of Public Safety, which is the essentially the Texas Highway Patrol. They do I know that's till you get up to the, like, the Texas Rangers. That's the, I guess, the pinnacle of law enforcement here in the state, as it is in most. Dang it. Where is it at? Ah, here we go. It's called the Department of Public Safety School Safety Program. easy enough, right? I should be able to remember that since it's Texas DPS. But and that Department of Public Safety School Safety Program, it is, there's only a few instructors in the state that are even licensed, certified, whatever, to teach it. And then it requires continuing education as well. And it's set up on more a defensive type measure than anything. It's not about you as a teacher running out in the hallway and engaging. It's more about the protection of those students that would be in your classroom at the time. So, of course, you know, you get into a situation if you've got a teacher that's trained, you know, would they go out into the hallway, maybe tell the kids behind them, as soon as I walk out, lock this door, you know, because some of those safety lock systems and stuff that they have nowadays, they can put on these doors, would work pretty awesome. So, you know, tell your kids, look, I'm going out, lock the door behind me, don't open it for anybody, you know. And, you know, if you only had a few teachers in the entire school, I think that would have to be in play. But, you know, I get it too, because teachers, they're there for a reason. They have a job. I get that. And if you're involved in your job and you're involved in that class and teaching, and you're, you know, that's one more thing that could potentially pull focus if you're having to worry about stuff like that too. And, you know, I think the first line of defense is to have some type of resource officers or something like that. I'm not opposed at all to having teachers carry if they want to and if they're trained. But I do think that you need personnel on that campus who their job, you know, is to basically walk around and look for things, you know, identify things that doesn't look right. And that doesn't even extend to an active shooter situation. But that can also extend to, I mean, maybe they can identify kids that are having problems. Maybe they can identify, you know, drugs or something that's going on in the school, right? I mean, there's lots of reasons to have that particular type of resource and resource officer in play. He just says, busy comments today, keeping me things out of you. It's not that bad, actually, user. It's just a matter when I get on the roll for 2 or 3 minutes, then I gotta go through a bunch of comments and try to figure it out. Uh-oh. And the chat, sometimes the chat works right, and then sometimes it doesn't. Like just now, it scrolled like all the way to the bottom. Looks like Philo's jumped in with us now, and Insight Lux in the house too. Scott's been talking about his new magnets and stuff, and I see. Vandal out there's got a good one. Says somebody said Zippy is here. Look at there. Vandal says, question says, when I buy my first rifle, should get a good rifle I'll have for a while, or a beater that won't break the bank. Oh, wow, that's a good one, isn't it? I would say get a beater, honestly. I'm going to say get something that, you know, you could go to a range, you could have fun with, but, you know, you could also potentially hunt with. It may not look the best. The fact that it's a beater, you know, doesn't mean that it's going to be any more inaccurate when you go to shoot it. So, I mean, in the hunting application or something like that, people get big time hung up, I think, with all of this MOA and accuracy and all of that. And when it boils down to hunting, you know, I know here in Texas, and especially my part of Texas, we do not have big whitetail deer at all. Not on any of the land that anybody I really know hunts on. And, you know, you're looking at a potentially 4 inch or so area. And shots, I mean, a lot of the land around here, if you got a 100-yard shot, you're doing good. So, you know, 4 inches at 100 yards, that's 4 MOA. You know what I mean? And I bought an off-the-shelf cheap rifles for brand new for $300 or less that'll shoot MOA at 100 yards. So, you know, what you got to worry about as far as beating one around is if you're running optics more than anything, that's going to end up being the issue. So I would say, you know, go the cheaper route that gets something in your hands, something you can enjoy. And of course, practice with and work on trigger discipline and, you know, all the other, you know, shooting form, all the other factors that you can work on. Right. And then save up and, you know, really buy you a safe queen, something that, you know, goes from the safe into a case to the range to the bench, back in the case, home, goes on the table, it gets cleaned, and then it goes back in the safe, right? That sort of thing. Yeah, 1% out there. He's sort of agreeing. Nephilo disagrees. He says, buy once, cry once. Especially with all that he has to go through. Yeah, I don't know the specifics of the regulations down there or that sort of stuff. So that may very well be true. If it's a huge pain to go through. Yeah, Mohawk's talking about budget rifles too. So I think budget rifles seems to be the consensus, but people makes a good point because you're down there in Australia. So I'm not real sure what kind of a pain it would be. User saying if they don't allow teachers to carry, they should have designated areas in the school with gun safes and guns and body armor accessible for trained teachers. I don't agree with that one bit. I do not agree with there being an armory in the school. First of all, should an event occur, you would have to be able to navigate, make your way to said armory to be able to do something. Could you do it in a classroom? Maybe. But I mean, you could also, you know, one of the things that happened with Parkland that was kind of interesting is the ROTC went in and broke out their Kevlar curtain or blanket or whatever you call it that they use. And then you're talking high-powered rifle. Is that going to necessarily stop anything? No. But I mean, is it better than nothing? Yeah. So, going to mitigate a lot of the energy before you have to deal with it. So, you know, I don't know, maybe having access to something like that within a supply closet within the classrooms, maybe something like that. But, you know, you're talking about from a place of security. If you're a teacher and you're in a classroom and you have some type of barricading device for the doors, there's an active shooter situation, and that district does not want you engaging. Your job is to keep your classroom, your kids safe, regardless of what else goes on. All you got to worry about is that threat coming into the classroom. So, and at that point, I mean, that's a stupid move for a threat to try to make. I think they would spend a lot of time and energy and resources depending on how the barricading system for the doors worked. So I think that's a very, very low probability they're going to go path of least resistance, most likely. But even if they did, somebody said something about just stand there beside the door, and if somebody does bust through the door, stand there beside the door with a fire extinguisher and clock them over the head with a fire extinguisher or whatever, right? So, heck, you could give them a ninja sword, for that matter, stand by the door. But I think the probability of an active shooter trying to get into a barricaded room or something is going to be low anyway. They're talking about budget rifles and stuff out there. Looks like the Savage is out there, and I'm assuming they're probably talking about the Axis, which is a decent one. The Ruger Americans. I actually prefer, and I'm a Savage guy, admittedly, with especially with the Model 11s, the Model 10s, those sorts of things. But with the Ruger Americans, I prefer the Ruger American over the Savage Axis myself. But then you've got a couple other options, and what am I thinking? Mossberg does one that's not too terribly expensive. The Remington stuff, unfortunately, even in the more expensive, is not that great. And when you get down into the cheaper, it's even worse. I think you're probably better off going Savage or, you know, Ruger or something like that. So now, that being said, one thing that comes to my mind, and I've never shot one, but it's intriguing, and I would be willing to bet it was a really good deal. I see some really good prices on that. On these is the Thompson. Thompson is out there making a bolt rifle now that's really reasonably priced. And Vandal is saying was looking at the Ruger. He was looking at the Ruger American Rimfire just so it can feed it practice without going broke. We have two of the Ruger Rimfire and 22 long rifle Vandal. They are they're excellent rifles. Great action. Honestly, not a big fan of them using the 22 mags. I understand why they did it. Not a big fan. I'm not of the rotary mag. Getting sights as far as with us, we do open sight, so that's kind of a pain to do on those. But if you're going to run optics, particularly if you're looking at a, you know, putting a scope or something on it, then it'd be easy enough. I think it'll do you a good job. So yeah, I wouldn't shy away from the American Rimfire, not one bit. This guitar man saying that, he knows about the Texas program, but in their district, they're looking at another option. It's available here. Yeah, I mean, a district can do, I can't remember the name of the legislation, but there's some legislation that was passed here in Texas that allowed schools to do, to institute those programs, right? And they can do whatever. When I mentioned that Texas DPS safety, school safety, whatever program, that is, for lack of a better term, state approved. Very high level of, I mean, that's why there's only a few instructors that can even teach that. And it's done from a very specific perspective. Just go out and do a one-on-one with some type of instructor and let them set up a program. That instructor may or may not have the knowledge of varying school districts and scenarios and all of that kind of stuff at their disposal. Maybe a great instructor as far as training and, you know, as far as the, you know, basic response techniques and stuff like that. But when it comes down to specifics, there may be an issue there. Somebody was dogging it, looked like. There's Mr. Nate. How are you, Nate? Actually seen a, Inside Freedom says it's the TC Compass. That's what he says. So, looked like somebody was dogging on the 17 HMR there. But I don't see it. Thought I'd read somebody that said they had a. It was Alaskan. It's got a Ruger American and 17 HMR. Isn't that accurate? did a video on it. The I've got a Savage 93, I believe it is, in 17 HMR. The HMR is really susceptible to wind and a lot of different things, first of all, with the 17. But so I'm not sure if it's that would be the issue with the rimfire or if it's actually a cartridge based, you know, issue, projectile based issue. With the rimfire 22s that we've got, they're plenty hunting accurate, plenty accurate enough to plink around with. They're not tack driving precision rifles by any means. They're just not. A squib saying, what part of concealed carry training authorizes you to hunt down or pursue a threat? None that I'm aware of. So, and that's where Texas comes into play, I think, with the program, like I said, that the Texas Department of Public Safety and the school, Texas Department of Education has. This is a defensive measure, which is what it's supposed to be. Yeah, we're not, doesn't give you the right to be a vigilante or, you know, track somebody down. And I just got down in the chat. Does my wife like have a flat somewhere? Because if so, that's not good. I don't have a message from her. So that's weird. And no message here. So bear with me. I don't get it. I don't know why she would. How do you change a flat? I'll tell you how you change a flat. You just take the jack out and you jack the car up. You don't have anything in your car. You can't find the jack because the jack's not in your car because you don't change flats. So there you go. So I'm going to bail because apparently my wife has a flat, even though she neglected to call me here, it looks like. Nope, I got a missed call. Maybe, do I? Yay! I finally get a message that she says, I've got a flat. So, got to go change a flat tire somewhere at some point, somewhere. So, I'm going. Bye. sorry I've got to jump early, but it is what it is. So, it's not that much early, but it is. Take care. Hopefully, I'll see you guys this week from Tulsa. I do not know what the live schedule is going to look like because of Tulsa, so just bear with me on that. We may do some live streaming from Tulsa. It may not be topic-driven, that sort of thing, but we'll come on and talk with you folks out there and do something. So, yeah, take it easy, and we'll catch you later. Bye.